Hello, awesome people. Welcome to Embrace the Pivot. I'm Dr. C. Robinson, your host for the show. Join me as we discover what pivoting actually means and how you can embrace your pivot during life's transition. Happy Thursday, everyone. I hope you are all doing well. When it comes to professionally pivoting, most of the time it takes courage. It takes bravery, and it takes self-confidence to say, okay, I may not know X, but I'm going to figure it out. So instead of feeling overwhelmed, giving in, and throwing in the towel, pick yourself back up and say, I can do this. It may be hard. It may be difficult. I may get knocked down a couple times. But the more I get up, the more I'm going to succeed. The more I'm going to get one step closer to where I want to be. And if you know at your core that you are brave, and you can do this, and all it takes is just doing one thing a day to better yourself, at least just one thing, you are already improving. You're already progressing. And today's guest did just that. She was courageous. She was brave. She lost her spouse. She lost her house. She had to send her child off to college. She lost her job. She didn't know what she was going to do, but she picked herself up and she found a way to find a purpose in this new stage of her life. Michelle Fishburne joins me on today's episode of Embrace the Pivot. Until her life turned upside down in 2020, she had taken a fairly traditional route in life. Law school, attorney, stay-at-home mom, and then public relations when she re-entered the workforce. And when all that came crashing down after she lost a job, she was divorced and she lost her house, she packed up and she moved into her 2006 motorhome with her dog Buddy and started driving. And that was the beginning of her breathtaking pivot. She has traveled around the country, and what started out as just wanting to learn about people, their stories, what they were up to, she found the commonality. We're all human, right? And she has compiled all these stories from these people that she's met who they had to make pivots during 2020 and the pandemic. And she shares how they survived it, what they were doing before and what they're doing now. And the book came out on March 14th. It's an amazing story of how resilience and bravery, where it can take you in this world. Everyone, please welcome Michelle.
Cheryl, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me on.
All right. You have such a unique, non-traditional pivot, if you will. So why don't you share with my listeners that pivot from being divorced, having no home once the house sold, to then saying, hey, let me jump in my RV and travel across the country.
It's really not what I planned. And I think sometimes when we pivot, that's exactly what's happened, right? So I thought when my youngest, who was a senior in high school in the spring of 2020, I thought when she graduated that I was going to stay at the fabulous job that I had, and I was going to stay in the same house, and that I was going to start dating again, because I decided I wasn't going to date while she was still in high school. And so I thought, okay, that's what the future is going to look like. And then because I got laid off from my national events job, because national events could not happen. And so when the foundation laid me off, I thought, oh, no problem. I'll get a new job. and 86 customized cover letters between March and July. Middle of July turned up nothing. I offered my services for free. I offered them, and people wow. still didn't want me for free. And I looked all over the country. And so it was literally the middle of July, and I was sitting there, and the lease was up on the post-divorce house on July 31st. And I was sitting there thinking, what the heck am I going to do? And I thought, I can't just get another house or apartment because I have no idea where I'm going to have to move to get a job. So where will I tell the movers to put my stuff? And I thought, well, okay, storage. Okay, where are you going to live? Well, I have a 2006 motorhome because I homeschooled my kids and I road schooled them in the motorhome for 10 months once and for 4 months once. So I knew how to live and make my way across the country in a motorhome. And so I thought, okay, well, what will I do living in the motorhome? And this is all sitting in the Target parking lot. Like, it all came together pretty quickly. And I thought, okay, I could take it to the beach and try to consult my way to a new job. But then I realized that if you wake up terrified in paradise, you're still terrified. It doesn't matter where you are. And so I thought, well, consulting my way to a new job is what everybody's trying to do right now who's similarly situated. It's not been working for me. Why would I think it would change? And so I thought, okay, right? The definition of insanity is to continue to do things that aren't working, thinking you're going to get a different result.
Yep.
So I thought, okay, what could I do? And then truly was one of those out of the blue lightning bolts coming through the top of the Honda that said Humans of New York, which was a great project that Brandon Stanton did, where mm-hmm. he photographed thousands of people all over New York City, interviewed them, and then built a website, or I don't know if it was even a website, but social media, where you had the photos and the stories. And I thought, well, I think that's a great project. I have the motorhome. I could just start driving and interview Americans of the pandemic. Humans of New York, Americans of the pandemic. Why not? And so I did a run, kind of a run forest run thing where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get in the motorhome and I'm going to drive out to Yellowstone, because I had driven out to Yellowstone so many times with the kids over the years that that was not a heavy lift. I didn't make it to Yellowstone because I got so interested in another one of our national treasures, which is our people, that I didn't even go into our national park, national treasures. I made it as far west, basically, as Cheyenne. And I got stuck in Pine Bluffs, Wyoming, where all of a sudden what I was doing and how to do it finally came together. And so I started this project, Who We Are Now, which is about people's lives during the pandemic. And Who We Are Now, stories of what Americans lost and found during the COVID-19 pandemic. 100 first person stories. So I actually didn't write it. I don't feel like an author. All I am is a collector of other people's stories. But I did not expect it to be a book. It was just supposed to be a project to help me get a job. I was going to say, see, look what I can create. Mm-hmm. But then people started saying, but Michelle, this is history. So like, this is just a website, really? It's not a book. It's not something that in 50 years from now, 100 years from now, people can come back. And I thought, oh, I guess it needs to be a book. So now I'm an author, which was so not in the cards.
Well, congratulations. It's very exciting. I published my first book about 12 years ago, and just that feeling of, oh, it's real. It's an incredible feeling. So congratulations.
Thank you.
What I would like to talk about is when you said that you sent out 86 cover letters, even offering your services for free and people didn't want it. It's bad enough when you offer it for free and they do want it, but how did that mess with your psyche that they didn't even want it for free? And how were you able to compose yourself? Because me personally, I think that would really mess with me for a little bit. Like, they don't even want me for free. Am I even good at anything? I think that's what would go through my mind initially, until I got over it. But oh my goodness, what was that experience like for you?
Well, it was pretty hard. I mean, this is not my first pivot, I guess my first really big pivot was going from an international trade attorney with a 5-bedroom house in Bethesda, Maryland, with an entire closet full of black tie dresses, to a homeschool mom who wasn't working. That was a very big pivot, right? I never thought when I graduated from UVA Law School that I would find myself on August 1st, 2020, without a house, a spouse, a job, or a kid to take care of, because my youngest was off, was an empty nester. So I failed at marriage. Nobody even wanted me for free. So I obviously failed at my career. So in the early part of August, I took Kristen right before she went to college to Hilton Head, a nice place, right? So once again, you can be terrified in paradise. So it's this beautiful day. We're right by the beach. I'm sitting there in the water. My toes are in the water. And I'm just like, you know what? If I just don't live after today, I am fine with that. Because I thought of my future as being very gray. I'm like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to get a job. I will no longer be able to have a career. I'm 57 and it's just going to be about making money to support myself. And that feels really bleak. And I won't have the kids anymore with me. And, you know, I'll live for the kids, but I'm no longer living for myself. And it felt really, really bleak. And yeah, so that was a rough moment.
How were you able to manage that mindset and prevail?
I did two things that I did not recognize in the moment, but I recognized after the fact. The first thing I did was when you have a crisis, you need to figure out, all right, you know what your scarcity is in a crisis. But anytime there's scarcity, there's also abundance. I knew that there was an abundance of time. I mean, that was my abundance. The shortage was no job, but I had an abundance of time. And I thought, I've got to be able to use that time somehow to get myself back on track. So that was one thing I relied on. And then the second thing I relied on that I didn't realize that I was doing is action is the antidote to fear. And I first heard that phrase when I was speaking with Rena, who was a nonprofit executive director during COVID, and she had had a fundraising crisis. And she said, "Well, you know, Michelle, action is the antidote to fear." And I thought, "Oh." So I think that's what I did. My run, Forrest, run moment was just getting the motor home and start driving. And because I was listening to other people's stories, I wasn't as focused on my own story. And I think that's one of the offerings of the book, from what I'm hearing from what other people are saying, is that it's really helped them process what they went through during that early time of the pandemic. And people have been buoyed actually by reading the book. Yes, there's some sad stories, of course, but there are an awful lot of, like, we're our own heroes in life. We go on our own hero journeys where something bad happens and we're set off on a bunch of challenges and we just do it. And we do it because at the core of the human spirit, I think, is something called pluck, which is a word we don't use very often, but it's spirited and determined courage. That's what I drew on, was that human tendency towards spirit and determined courage.
How have you evolved? And I normally ask people, how have you evolved as a leader? But for you, how have you evolved from feeling an emptiness to now being the facilitator, if you will, for sharing other people's stories? Like from that very first story you heard and the person you interviewed, how did that progress?
Oh my goodness. So I just came upon, I love when people ask good questions because then you have that moment of self-realization, right? So I remember when I was a lawyer that I felt, quote, hermetically sealed. I kept saying, I feel hermetically sealed. And I didn't realize until now, part of that was when you just are sort of all into your own story. What I realize is that I'll never be hermetically sealed again because I like put down all of the walls and I put down everything and I kind of immersed myself in everybody around me. And this is going to sound so ridiculous, but so now I feel more just connected to people and to life, I guess, to the universe. That sounds really woo-woo, but anyway, I think that's how I've evolved. I don't feel like it's just Michelle anymore. I feel like it's Michelle in a sea of everybody.
I know for me too, when I hear other people's stories, you realize that we're not all that different. We all have struggles. We all have stuff we don't want to share. We all have moments of excitement and triumph, but those are different. Like our moments are different, but the situation or we all experience the same feelings. And I think that's incredible that you're sharing that with the world, especially during a time where it was just pure chaos. No one knew what was going on. No one knew that they were all pivoting. Like the entire world was pivoting in 2020, and we still are. We're still overcoming it. So what you are doing is so powerful. And I hope that you continue that. I hope that you continue life after the pandemic. I think that would be a great follow-up.
Well, I'm definitely going to continue to do the Who We Are Now series. For the rest of my life, what I want to do is to continue finding subjects, asking people about those subjects, and then sharing them out as a book. Currently thinking about four different topics. And what I'll probably just do is instead of having laser focus, which I learned sometimes is not the best way to approach life, I'm just going to start driving again and start asking questions on all four strands and see what kind of rises to the top, and the stuff that rises to the top we'll use, and the other stuff we'll just sit there until another day and maybe be used.
Yeah, I love that. You hear so many times, oh, you have to be laser focused. You have to be laser focused. For me, I always have about four or five projects going on at the same time. Maybe that is a little too much, but I find that I am way more productive because I am that very entrepreneur who goes, ooh, the shiny idea. That sounds great. Let's see what can come from it because you just never know what that thing is that's going to propel you to that next level of where you want to be.
And I think when you limit yourself, you deprive yourself of a data point or of gaining a new experience or skill that will help. Like I guess like a collector crab, right? Where you add more.
What's your biggest a piece of advice for anyone who's looking to pivot in their career?
If you're looking to pivot in your career, I think the first thing to do. And from my advice is this: get a huge whiteboard, some dry erase markers, and put the word limitless at the very top of the whiteboard. And then, without constraining yourself, put down the things that you like to do and put down the places you'd like to live, put down a couple of visions for the future, and just let them rest on the board. And don't judge them. And just see what starts to slowly come together. And don't fight what it is that slowly comes together. And then once you've done that, think about what you have in abundance. What can you use to get you on the road to that new pivot? And then the last thing I would say is don't be afraid to pivot, because one of life's biggest joys is being able to explore ourselves in our different versions, kind of like a kaleidoscope. And every time you pivot, you get this wonderful opportunity to see a different version of yourself.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Seeing a different version of yourself, and hopefully it's for the better. And if it's for the worse, hopefully you learn from it so the next version is better. But you're the first person to say that. No one has ever said that, watch the next version of yourself. So thank you. I appreciate that. Is there a story that you could sum up somewhat quickly of the people that you've interviewed, but I know all of them have impacted you, but is there one that stands out the most to you and why?
His name is Calvin. He's not in the book. And he, I met him on a roadside between Alpine, Texas and Marfa, Texas. And I needed some more air in my tire. And he happened to have a generator on the back of his pickup truck. When we were talking, I was telling him about my project. And, you know, he said, well, for me, things have been pretty good. I'm a rancher. People come to my property and everything I do is outside. And so he said, I've felt kind of guilty. Like things are fine for me. Things are good for me. He said, I keep worrying about like the restaurant owner in New York City. And he said, I'm concerned about them. And I said, well, you know, I just talked to this guy named Dominic 3 days ago over Zoom, and he's a restaurant owner in New York City. And he is struggling and he's really frustrated. He's still not allowed to have people dining in and he's getting wiped out financially. And Calvin said, you know, I was really worried that that's the what it was like up there. And he said, if you ever talk to him again, would you please tell him that a rancher in Texas is thinking about him? And so I called Dominic up and I said, Dominic, there's a rancher in Texas who's thinking about you. But that is what I had the sense of as I went through the country, whether it was red or blue, it doesn't matter. People were just thinking about each other. I'm worried about so-and-so. How are the people who are doing such and such doing? Those people in New York City where they've got, you know, 30 floors of apartments and they've got one elevator, like how are they functioning? That was the one big takeaway from me is the pandemic pause from our blind grind led us to really truly look up and pause and look at and care about each other.
Where can my listeners find you on social media?
Oh, sure. So I'm at Who We Are Now USA on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And then my personal travel Instagram account is Michelle Fishburn. And that's MichelleFishburne. And I'm known as the Happy Nomad.
Oh, I love it. Well, I'm going to link everything in the description so people have an easy way to follow you. Thank you so much for your story today. It's incredible. And I can't wait to read your book.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for having me on.
You can follow me, Dr. C, on Instagram at EmbraceThePivot. I hope all of you embrace your pivot.